It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows, and I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with, and Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy, it's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5, with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly, you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
What if everything you learn in history class was only half the story? I'm Dr. Harini Bhatt, host of Hidden History. Every Monday, I go where history gets mysterious. Vanished civilizations, doomsday prophecies, paranormal phenomena, and events that science still can't fully explain. On Hidden History, I treat these moments like open case files. Not myths, not superstition, just incomplete explanations waiting for a closer look. Listen to and follow Hidden History, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
It's 2 degrees out. It's the heart of winter time. And Chris Hine is out there bumping some Mariah Carey. He's in the zone right now. He joins us now here, courtesy of the John Schuster Coal Banker Hotline. Chris Hine, how you doing?
I'm good, Henry. How you doing?
This is good. This is a banger right here. Turn it up for a second, Chris Tubbs. Is this not a banger, Chris Hine?
It is. It is. It wasn't even one of her biggest hits. That's from 1992. That was Make It Happen. Probably not one of the songs people know her by today, but it is a certified banger, absolutely.
Yeah, it's a certified banger. It absolutely is. All right, hey, Chris, always fun to have you on the show, man. You can rock and roll with the best of them. Yesterday, we hear the word, arbitrator, they spoke, all three, and they sided 2-1 for Mark Lurie, Alex Rodriguez, against Glenn Taylor, saying that, look, we've looked at this, we've evaluated it, and yes, we side with Lurie and A-Rod. What did you make of the result of that? Because I don't think anybody really knew, because nothing was really trickling out. I don't know if the judges said, hey, you guys better not say a peep. But we were anticipating the day coming, and now that we know where the arbitrators stand on this, what do you think is the next step? Do you think that the current owner, because he's still the current owner, Glenn Taylor, is going to try to appeal or not appeal this to arbitrators because he can't do that, but try to take this somewhere else?
We just put up a piece on StarTribune.com. I'd recommend people going to read that, which is literally what happens next now that Glenn Taylor and Alex Rodriguez have won arbitration. And it is very difficult to appeal something like this. Our Jeff Day did a lot of research into this. And to appeal or try to get this wiped out or however you want to term it for Glenn Taylor would be a very, very difficult thing to do. So by all intents and purposes, this arbitration ruling is going to stand. So what's going to happen next is Mark Lurie and Alex Rodriguez will be going to the NBA to continue the process of purchasing a controlling interest of the Timberwolves and pending league approval. They will become the majority owners, and we don't know quite yet what the timeline is on that process, but that is the next steps in this process.
Has there been any I know they put out a statement, but I guess what would you say has been the general initial reaction by Lurie and A-Rod?
They're obviously very happy. A year ago when this happened, they professed to fight this as much as they could. You know, they were adamant and determined to own the Timberwolves. I think this is something they've both really wanted for a long time, become, ingrained in the community here in Minnesota. And so for this arbitration panel to vindicate them, their point of view, their reading of the contract, I think was a very big moment for both of them, and one that, was a long time coming. They had to have a lot of patience. But, in the end, they prevailed.
Yeah, we're talking to Chris Hine, beat writer for the Minnesota Star Tribune, covers the Minnesota Timberwolves here on the Lake Show News Talk 830 WCCO. Latest article just posted less than 2 hours ago. What's next for the Timberwolves now that Mark Lurie, Alex Rodriguez have won in arbitration? Let me ask you this. Is there any potential road bumps to them getting approval by the NBA? And the reason why I ask it in this way is it's one thing to have a lot of money, but then it's also a different thing to have a lot of money to own a professional sports franchise, whether it's in the NHL, whether it's in the NFL, whether it's the NBA. And look, you can have people that support you and part of having your back like a Michael Bloomberg, but you have to actually have like having Michael Bloomberg assist you is one thing, but I don't think that the owners factor that in terms of like you having the majority ownership part, right?
I'm not going to profess to know exactly what the NBA is looking for in this process or how it's going to go down. I did read something from Sportico earlier, and they were not expecting this to be a difficult process in terms of the approval.
Okay.
So, you know, that's all I have for you on that front. I don't know exactly what the league is going to be looking for or how this is going to go down. I mean, most of the time, the league essentially is rubber stamping these things. You know, there's not a ton that goes into, you know, putting up resistance or opposition. So I'm not 100% certain as to how the process exactly goes down.
What do you think has been the general public's take on Glenn Taylor here the last few years? And I ask that because I think that I'm an outlier with Glenn Taylor. I love the Timberwolves. It's my favorite team. I have season tickets. I'm invested like a lot of other people out there. And Glenn Taylor has not been the most successful owner, as we all know. But I'm not as down on Glenn Taylor as an owner as a lot of other people. Look, has he had people running his organization that haven't been very good? Yes. Has he had a bad run after Flip Saunders died with coaches? Yes. But I'm not as bitter and upset with him like a lot of other people because he could have easily been like some other owners throughout the years that wouldn't throw a lot of money at trying to solve problems or upgrade the roster. He spent a lot of money in this organization as the owner.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows, and I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with, and Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy, it's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5, with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
The podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses. Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
He did. You know, I get the frustration because it was such a long time where this organization, before I got here, you know, this organization was just treading water at the bottom of the NBA, trying to stay afloat, right? And
yep.
Hoping for miracle after miracle to happen, turnaround after turnaround, regime after regime coming through. So I get the frustration that, you know, for however long it was, 15, almost 20 years,
yeah,
you could never quite get it right, right? That's a long time, that's generations to go through, you know, without seeing the playoffs, without sniffing contention. I think of late, you know, and in the last couple of years here, as things started to turn around and Mark Lurie and Alex Rodriguez came aboard and they went out and got Tim Connelly, you know, Glenn never got in the way of what they wanted to do there. He's paid the luxury tax this year, you know. So as it pertains to the last couple of years, he hasn't gotten in the way of you know, this team becoming a contender. And, you know, before, you know, things turned south in their relationship, there was a seemingly collaborative process between Lori Rodriguez and Taylor. They went out and got Tim Connelly, but Glenn signed off on it and, you know, signed off on the deal. And so I think, you know, from that end of things, you give him credit for the last couple of years, but I do certainly understand the frustration of a long, long time before getting to this point.
Any idea on how this specific ownership could go about their business? And what I mean by that is Glenn Taylor is a businessman. He didn't meddle. He's not a Jerry Jones type. He just kind of is in the background, right? Do we have any indications or idea of how Lori and A-Rod would want to kind of like proceed? Because I could see A-Rod being one of those guys that's, I don't want to say he's like Mark Cuban, but, you know, kind of the face of things.
Well, I think, you know, with Mark and Alex and getting to know them over the last couple of years, they're obviously very plugged into the team, the specifics of the team, the specifics of the roster. You know, you see them at all the games. Like, they're very much into the minutiae and getting to know the personnel, you know, who's and what they're good at, what they're not good at. Like, they're very in tune, I guess that is what I would say, with the team. Glenn might be more hands off in that regard, and you know, maybe not as, what's the word I want? But Mark and Alex are just very into the team, the way, like, almost like a diehard fan would be. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like that sort of intensity with knowing the roster.
Kind of like Ballmer.
And, you know, kind of. Yeah, kind of like living and dying with each game and getting really emotional when a team does well and, you know, amped up and things like that. And Glenn was always very more reserved and, you know, and things like that. So I think that's probably the difference there. And, I don't think that they're, you know, certainly they're the owners of the team. They're not afraid to offer their opinions here and there. So I think that's probably the difference is, I think, you know, Mark and Alex might be more just very engaged with, you know, the personnel of the team in that way.
All right. We're talking to Chris Hine, Minnesota Star Tribune, joining us here on the Lake Show on News Talk 830 WCCO. A couple of final things for Chris. One thing that I could see after everything goes through, because I think that we all anticipate that this will end up in the hands of Lori and A-Rod. One thing that I could see happening is people start talking about a new arena, right? Like new digs. And I believe that Target Center in the NBA, is that the second oldest arena? I think it might be the second oldest.
I heard that. Yeah, it might be the second oldest, something like that.
Yeah. So, and it just, I've said this for the last, I don't know how many years. It's time. Like everything has an expiration date. It's time for the Wolves to get a new facility. I'm totally on board with that. But one thing that I think strategically A-Rod and Lori cannot do, they cannot look to pitch a new arena to all the people here in Minnesota, and once they acquire majority ownership, scale back on the payroll. I just don't think that that's going to be something that's sellable to fans. People want to know that this organization, exactly with Anthony Edwards as the face of the franchise, that they are going to continue to surround him with pieces, that they will remain possibly in the luxury tax. Any word or thinking or thoughts about where they could go payroll-wise?
I addressed that in the piece that's up there right now.
Okay.
I think that when they make the Rudy Gobert trade 2 years ago, they made it knowing that that was going to push them into the luxury tax when they became controlling owners of the franchise, right? So this was a move 2 years ago that force this timeline forward of when the Wolves were going to be contenders and therefore paying the luxury tax, right? So I don't think as owners, you don't, and businessmen, you don't sign off on a move like that unless you know that you're going to be willing and able to pay the tax that goes along with it, right? Now, words are words. You will see ultimately what the actions are, right? But I think that was as much of an indication 2 years ago that they are willing to spend. And Mark Lori has been on the record with me about that he's got hundreds of millions of dollars ready to invest in the team to try to win a championship, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he has said that. again, words are words, actions are actions, but all the indications are is that they are willing to do that. Now, when you go back and look at the Carl Anthony Towns trade, a popular refrain at the time was that this was ownership looking to cut costs, right?
Yep.
Well, I would say the Wolves are right now a second apron team in the NBA. And if you're not familiar with what that means to be a second apron team, there's a lot of roster building restrictions that are quite punitive beyond just the luxury tax that go along with being a second apron team. Your ability to sign players, trade draft picks, all these things are affected by being a second apron team. The entire NBA right now is trying not to be a second apron team. So the Wolves, in doing that trade, part of their thinking was to not be a second apron team anymore. And in that way, it doesn't make ownership cheap. It makes them like every other NBA franchise who is realizing the ramifications of being a second apron team on their future success. And so you're seeing now that the Wolves have made moves over the last couple of cycles here, whether it be the Towns trade, whether it be signing Rudy Gobert to an extension where he takes a big discount on what he was owed next year to try to help them get under the second apron while retaining guys like Naz Reid and Nickeil Alexander-Walker. So, you know, there are certain moves that they may make, and you'll be scratching your head and being like, oh, well, they're trying to cut payroll here. Well, in a way, they're also trying to duck under the second apron and avoid the lack of flexibility and roster maneuvers that won't be at their disposal should they stay above a certain threshold. So it's a very complicated thing, and it's not a black and white picture when you see some of the moves that they've made recently and that they may make into the future here.
Hey, Chris, you know you're my guy, but I need one final favor from you.
Yep.
I need an autographed copy of Ant, The Incredible Journey of NBA Rising Star Anthony Edwards. Congratulations, man. The book is available now. Congrats, man. How's that been?
Thank you. It's been surreal to see it up for sale and people buying it and sending me screenshots of their receipts and this and that. It's very cool. It's due out in early June right now, but you could, like you said, order anywhere books are sold for pre-sale. Very excited to get that out into the world. Worked on it really hard in the summer and the fall. Very surreal, and be happy to drop one off at the studio for you.
I'm telling you, man, I need that hardcover. I need it autographed, bro.
We will get you it.
That's kind of like one of my things. I'm a collector. Like, I got like game worn, like tennis shoes. I've got football. Some people I've got autographed baseballs from like Harmon Killebrew and Kirby Puck and stuff like that. I value my books, too, though. I need that autographed copy from Chris Hine, man. Congratulations.
Absolutely.
Again.
Thank you. I'm hoping everybody looks at it as a collector's item at the very least. You don't even have to read it. Just buy it as a collector's item. Put it on a shelf somewhere. That's all I need. Just give us your money. That's all.
I hear you, man. All right. Well, I appreciate you being on the show, my friend.
Thanks, Henry. Appreciate it.
All right. Take care. That's Chris Hine. Check out his fine work and his latest story that he just posted a couple hours ago with Jeff Day. What's next for the Timberwolves now that Mark Lowry, Alex Rodriguez won in arbitration?
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows. And I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with. And Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy. It's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego sets play starts as early as 1.5 with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly, you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
Hey y'all, Poodle and Maddie here from Reality Gaze. Grab your favorite thong because for the first time, we're heading to the villa for the new season of Love Island USA.
I can't wait to watch Ariana babysit these shiny, oiled up adults who I'm pretty sure aren't there for the right reasons.
From the home-wrecking bombshells to the absolute wreckage of movie night. Pull up a daybed and join us every Wednesday for all the Love Island USA drama. Find Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcasts.